from the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
Religious freedom gets a boost around the world. The vice president joins values voters just like you. And the greatest evangelist of the 20th century is remembered. That's all coming up on this special Best of 2018 version of the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and homeschool dad. Back on February 20th, Reverend Billy Graham met Jesus face to face. After a storied career as an evangelist, as well as being a counselor to numerous presidents, he spent the final years of his life at home in North Carolina. James Robison, founder and president of Life Outreach International, joined FRC President Tony Perkins to talk about his mentor, Dr. Billy Graham.
James, welcome to Washington Watch once again.
Well, thank you, Tony, and it's Billy Graham's daughter said to me this morning in a text very early, it's a glorious day. Dad is seeing Jesus and Mother.
Yeah.
Right now.
I was actually texting with Franklin today, and I see that the legacy that Billy Graham has left is not just in what he built and what he did, but it's who he invested his life in. I mean, I know Ann very well. I know Franklin well, work with them. They are uncompromising in the gospel. But you also are a product of that.
Well, he began to reach out to me when I was 19, and this week Betty and I celebrate our 55th wedding anniversary. Within 6 months after we were married, and I was preaching, and the meetings were so blessed of God that we actually were in a citywide crusade in Houston that extended a week, and Billy heard about it and immediately began to just get tapes of me preaching and made it clear that he believed I was really anointed. And then he, of all things, set up our ministry organization. And he said, you're going to need a 501c3. You're going to need this. And he set it up right to think that he did that. And then he stayed in touch with me throughout my ministry. We became very close. He actually, Tony, commissioned me to win Franklin to Christ as a rebellious teenager when Franklin was in Texas at Laterno College and I was at East Texas Baptist University, 20 minutes away. And he told me Franklin loves to fish and hunt, and he said, I know you do. Why don't you take him, do some stuff? I made several appointments with Franklin. He broke every one of them. As a matter of fact, after he became converted, which Billy told me about that in a round of golf that we were playing together when I was in my early 30s, and he started crying. He's sitting on the golf cart, and he's tearing up. He said, let me tell you about my boy. And he told me about the conversion of Franklin. It was glorious. And I said, well, I failed, didn't I, Billy? He said, well, because I asked Franklin, why did you keep breaking all those dates to go fishing and stuff? And he said, well, I was getting drunk and smoking cigarettes. And Billy said, well, it's a change. And he is absolutely transformed. And we were blessed to begin helping Franklin with Samaritan's Purse the moment he took over the leadership of that organization. And we stayed close. But Billy invested in me. And we were friends. As a matter of fact, you look on the stream today, stream.org, you'll see a picture of me and Betty sitting in his home just a few years ago there in North Carolina. And Billy was saying throughout the day, I want to go. I want to go be with Ruth. I'm ready to go. And there was no question he was. And I know that Ruth texted me this morning that, you know, it is a glorious day because Dad's with Jesus and with Mother. And what an impact he made. I do want to tell you something a moment about a change that came in my life that I think you're witnessing the importance of, mm-hmm. and that's spiritual unity.
He was criticized in his early days, in the 50s and 60s, for who he hung around with. I mean, he went across denominational lines. Evangelicals and the conservatives did not really want to do much with charismatics, and you know, he broke that mold.
Well, and he even had Catholics who were encouraged to come and even had some of their leaders sit on the platform. Well, you know, Jerry Fall and I were very close, and Jerry was sharing, well, we got to talk to Billy, you know. Well, I did because I was close to him, and I actually scolded him. I said, why do you do this? And Billy just looked at me and he said, do you know the people you're telling me to avoid? I said, I don't know them. He said, well, I do. I've spent time with them. And he said, I have found that there's so many of them who love Jesus. And he said this. He said, I could not hold a crusade outside the United States if it were not for Pentecostals and Charismatics. Well, that kind of set me back. But I actually took his advice. It led to one of the greatest transformations that a person could ever experience. Because I began to go to the leaders. One of the first ones was Oral Roberts. But I went right down the line and began to meet with them. And Tony, invariably, we would be weeping together. Oral said, I was lonely. I was cut off from even my own people. I was cut off by the Methodists. And he said, "You coming to me today? It's just one of the greatest things that ever happened." He's just crying. And I began to encourage leaders to come and meet with Oral. I began to get, you know, today, Tony, because you've been in many meetings with me. I have been blessed to bring leaders together across all denominational lines. And that's the council that has surrounded the president, and you watch that happen. Mm-hmm. And you watch my effort to get them to sit at the table of reason and pray together. So it was Billy Graham that led me to literally begin to spend time with people I'd talked to avoid. Now, I've never, and neither did Billy, and neither will Franklin. We don't compromise the Word of God. We don't compromise principles. Right. And we'll recognize there may be some points of disagreement, but we can still be a healthy family that is reflecting the Father that we claim to know through Jesus Christ.
And in many ways, Billy Graham, in preaching the gospel, while he counseled presidents, he stayed nonpartisan. But in many ways, he laid the foundation for what we're seeing today in terms of the evangelical, if you will, kind of political influence that we're seeing around this president.
Well, what happened that was so dramatic, and we just heard someone on a large network make fun of someone for saying that they talk to God and God talks to them, when Jesus made it clear, my sheep hear my voice. And I write about this on the stream today. It's on the front of the stream. By the way, Ann Graham Lott sent everybody to the stream yesterday to read, she said, one of the most powerful articles she's ever seen. And so you can read that on the stream. But here's what Billy did. He called me and Bill Bright, and he said, "I stood in Red Square, and God told me that we have 1,000 days of freedom left in the United States. 1,000 days, 3 years. I know God told me that." And he called a prayer meeting, and Tony, that prayer meeting extended the life of freedom in this nation. Because he called a group of men, he asked me to get them to come to the meeting. And it was Pat Robertson, Bill Bright, Adrian Rogers, Charles Stanley, and my pastor, James Draper. We had a prayer meeting that led to Baptists actually realizing we needed a stronger leader than we had at the time. And God gave us a miracle in 1980.
And we're still living that miracle today. James Robinson, thank you so much for being with us today, my friend.
Well, Tony, thank you for everything you do for the cause of Christ and for freedom. God bless you.
You're listening to a special Best of 2018 edition of Washington Watch Weekend. You can find out more about James Robinson when you head over to TonyPerkins.com. While you're there, why don't you consider helping Family Research Council reach their year-end financial goals by simply clicking on the donate button. Your help can make all the difference. That website, once more, is TonyPerkins.com.
This Christmas, give a gift with purpose. Your gift to Family Research Council enables us to advance faith, family, and freedom. Together, we will work to protect life, marriage, and religious liberty in our country. If you give before December 31st to FRC, your gift will be doubled. Be fruitful in your gift giving this season. Call 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/2018. FRC wishes you and your family a Merry Christmas and a Blessed New Year.
Welcome back to our special Best of 2018 version of the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. Back on May 15th, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell announced the appointment of Family Research Council President Tony Perkins to the United States Commission on International Religious Freedom as its newest commissioner. Joining Tony to talk about the importance of the commission is a former congressman who spearheaded the original legislation that resulted in this commission, Congressman Frank Wolf.
Congressman, thank you so much for joining us here today on Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. I'm glad to be with you. Thank you very much.
Well, privileged to have the opportunity to serve on the commission that was created by the law that you spearheaded back in 1998. And I want to take a little bit of time to talk about the vision for that, why that law was brought forth, passed out of both houses, signed by President Bill Clinton. What was the motivator 20 years ago to bring this to the forefront of discussion in the Congress?
Well, several things. President Reagan said that the words in the Constitution and the words in the Declaration of Independence were a covenant, not only with the people in Philadelphia, you know, in 1776 and 1787 when the Constitution was ratified, but a covenant with the entire world. And Reagan sort of was the beginning. The other thing, many of the Jewish groups really did a great job, if you remember Jackson Vanik, with regard to immigration. They spoke out, and they pushed and pushed and pushed. Then I took a trip. I took a trip to Ethiopia during the famine in 1984, and you know, you had the communist government, Mengistu, and that was a life-changing experience. Then in 85, I went to Romania with former Congressman Tony Hall, and we saw people who were persecuted. We talked to people who told us their husband was in jail, their son was in jail, and that was sort of the Ceausescu, the dark. It was darker in Bucharest than any place around the world. And we came back and put in the bill to pass, take away MFN, and Ronald Reagan, God bless him, read the book by Pacheco, who defected. He was head of their Securitate. And Reagan, on his own, we had passed it, we're getting fights by the business community. Reagan took it away. And so I sort of came out of that. And then Chris Smith and I went to China in the early 90s. We visited the last gulag, the Perm Camp 35, interviewed Sharansky's cellmate. And so it kind of came out of that. And then lastly, you had people, giants, like Chuck Colson. Chuck was just, this is an important issue. You had Don Argue from the National Association of Evangelicals, and that there was a gathering in the Mayflower in 1997, I guess it was. Yeah, Chuck Colson, Cardinal McCarrick, Richard Land, Don Argue, and they all came together. And Michael Horowitz, I don't know if you know Michael, but he was one of the ones that helped draft this. And it all kind of came together, and then this was during the Clinton administration. You may or may not recall, but the Clinton administration opposed the bill. So we passed it in the House, got it over in the Senate, and on the last day, it was being blocked. And Dan Coats was in my freshman class as a freshman member. He's now director of national intelligence. He saved the bill and got it over, and we stayed that evening, as unanimous consent, took the Senate language, and we passed it. But the business community was very much against it. So I guess the origin, I give the credit to Ronald Reagan. I would give the credit to some of the giants in the House, guys like Henry Hyde and Jack Kemp. I give the credit to the Jewish community. I learned a lot from the Jewish community. I mean, they really advocated for their people. Then I give a lot of credit to people like Chuck Colson and Don Argue and Richard Land and Nina Shea. I don't know if you know Nina, but you got to sit down with Nina because she has been a giant on this. And so I think that's sort of the background of how it came about. But if you may or not remember, usually when a bill passes, there's a signing ceremony. The Clinton White House never even had a signing ceremony.
Congressman Wolf, we're up against a break. I ask you to hold on. We're going to come back to this because I want to get your thoughts on, you know, where are we 20 years later? Have we seen this law come into its maturity? Has it really been utilized as it was envisioned? And what's next? What's on the horizon for religious freedom globally? What will it take to give everybody that freedom that we've recognized, even the United Nations has recognized, is a fundamental human right, the freedom of religion? Folks, we continue our conversation with former Virginia Congressman Frank Wolf when we return. Don't go away. More Washington Watch to come, along with your phone calls here on this Wednesday afternoon.
Don't miss your opportunity to join other like-minded people and become an FRC STAN member. Join today and you'll receive empowering resources like Tony Perkins' book, No Fear, and for a limited time, Pastor Carter Conlon's book, It's Time to Pray. So become an FRC STAN member for $17 a month. That's just 56 cents a day. To join, call 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/stan. Thank you for partnering with us for the sake of America.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. My guest, former Virginia Congressman Frank Wolf, discussing the International Religious Freedom Act, which created the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom. So 20 years, we're 20 years into the law, the commission, the ambassador at large for religious freedom, which the act created. Is it functioning as it was envisioned? Are we seeing religious freedom protected, or has it been underutilized as a tool to promote religious freedom?
I think it's been underutilized. Let me just say, I am so grateful for Senator McConnell appointing you. I think you can, you know, I've always said personnel is policy. You put the right people in, and you can, with the right, you can make things happen. And, you know, there's so much that you can do. Also, you're with an organization. You care, your organization cares, so you have a bigger voice than perhaps anybody else. I mean, you can really do a big difference. There are tremendous needs. Training the State Department employees. The law calls for it, but you should make sure that they're training everyone that goes abroad or to go through the State Department training. You ought to look at the curriculum, make sure what the curriculum says, make sure it's really strong in defending people of all faiths. You got a great opportunity, Tony, because you got an ambassador for religious freedom, Ambassador Brownback. He's as good as you could ever want. Trump, yeah. Pence are good. I mean, the vice president's speech that he gave before the IDC in defense of Christians, great. You got a great Secretary of State. So you guys are really poised to do a lot of good work. Secondly, prisoners of conscience. In the old days, everyone, we had had prisoners of conscience on the Hill. Congress would adopt somebody who was in prison, and you would write to them, you would write to the families. To take that prisoner of conscience program and take it into the college campuses, to the millennials, to the Generation Z, have churches adopt a prisoner of conscience. Maybe somebody's in China persecuted for their faith. Write letters to the prison. Write letters to the government. Write letters to the embassy, maybe even picket an embassy once or twice, but that prisoner of conscience. Thirdly, make the reports more readable and have good public relations, so when they're announced, you get a commissioner to actually announce it, not just put out a piece of paper, but stand before the press and say, today we have done this, and this is the reason why. Public hearings outside of Washington. Great to have them in Washington, but take it on the road. Next, build up public support. Maybe even have once a month or once every 2 months, almost an open mic program where any of the groups can come in and say whatever they want to say to tell you what's going on. I mean, the Rohingya out in Myanmar, it's genocide. And lastly, work with the diaspora. There are 360,000 Nigerian Americans living in this country. There's 60,000 in Texas. Have a field here in Texas. Invite them to come in. There are more Iraqi Christians in Illinois than there are in Iraq. Deal with the diaspora, the Iraqi Christians. I think you guys, with the people that are filling these spots, and with your appointment, I hope the next couple are as good as you are that are waiting to come out. I think you guys can shake this thing up. And you're not afraid to speak out. I mean, you will say whatever you think. And this is the Lord's work. What they're doing to Tibetan Buddhists is, I mean, they've turned Lhasa into a dirty Chinese city. I mean, they're stripping 140 Tibetan monks and nuns and poured kerosene on their bodies in protest of the Chinese government. So I think you guys are poised. With this commission, with you and people like you, with Ambassador Brownback, with Secretary of State Pompeo, and with the Trump-Pence people, I think you guys can shake this thing up and really make a big difference.
And it will have so many byproducts to religious freedom. I mean, from a national security standpoint, from an economic standpoint, but of course, fundamentally, it's a human right issue of that freedom to choose. Congressman, we're again up against a break, but I want to thank you for your vision and for your continued dogged determination to protect to speak for the voiceless and protect those in minority statuses around the world. So we are grateful for the leadership you've provided.
Thank you, and thank FRC. You guys do a great job.
You can find out more about Frank Wolf when you visit TonyPerkins.com. While you're there, why don't you consider helping Family Research Council reach their year-end financial goals by simply clicking on the donate button. Your help can make all the difference. That website once more is TonyPerkins.com.
Don't miss your opportunity to join other like-minded people and become an FRC STAN member. Join today and you'll receive empowering resources like Tony Perkins' book, No Fear, and for a limited time, Pastor Carter Conlon's book, It's Time to Pray. So become an FRC STAN member for $17 a month. That's just 56 cents a day. To join, call 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/stan. Thank you for partnering with us for the sake of America.
Welcome back to a special best of 2018 version of the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. Well, our final guest today has always been a big hit with you, and he's a big hit when he speaks at FRC's Values Voters Summit. Here's FRC President Tony Perkins as he shares clips of Vice President Mike Pence's speech at the Values Voters Summit.
The Vice President, he had fire in his belly, as I told him on the way out. I've known the Vice President for 20 years, and he went on the offense as it pertained to Brett Kavanaugh and the tactics of the left. Here's what he had to say Saturday morning to the Values Voter Summit, clip number 6.
Judge Brett Kavanaugh is a man of integrity, with impeccable credentials and a proven judicial philosophy. On the District of Columbia Court of Appeals, he wrote more than 300 opinions that reflect a strong record of support for limited government, religious liberty, and our Second Amendment. He's a conservative who will interpret the Constitution as written, and his record and career deserves the respect of every member of the United States Senate. But honestly, the way some Democrats have conducted themselves during this process is a disgrace and a disservice to the Senate and the American people. That being said, the President and I are confident that Senate Republicans will manage this confirmation properly with the utmost respect for all concerned. And I believe that Judge Brett Kavanaugh will soon be Justice Brett Kavanaugh and take his seat on the Supreme Court of the United States of America.
Well, as I said this weekend on a couple of interviews with Fox, this is an extremely important issue to conservative voters. In fact, 1 in 5 voters in 2016 in the presidential election said this was their number one issue, and it remains such. And some polling we recently did of SageCons, that would be you, the spiritually active, governmentally engaged Christian voters, the court is right up there at the number two issue. And so this is extremely important that the Republicans get this right, and I believe they're moving in the right direction, but I think they want them to fight. I believe the voters want them to fight. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. But the president did take a moment to commend the Value Voters who were there. Clip number one.
It's hard to believe that it's just been 2 years since Values Voters delivered a great victory for the American people. If you look back at everything that we've accomplished, I think there's only one way you can describe the last 2 years. It's been 2 years of action. It's been 2 years of results. It's been 2 years of promises made and promises kept. And we're just getting started.
And he hit on some of those foreign policy highlights. Clip number 2 talks about some of those.
Beyond that, we've been restoring American leadership on the world stage as well. And President Donald Trump has stood without apology as leader of the free world. And the results speak for themselves. Our NATO allies are contributing more to our common defense than ever before. Our president's efforts in the Asia Pacific have brought North Korea to the negotiating table. And unlike the past 4 administrations, President Donald Trump kept his word to the American people and our most cherished ally when we opened the United States Embassy in Jerusalem, the capital of the state of Israel.
And that brought people to their feet, without question. In fact, they were on their feet most of the time during the vice president's speech. He went on to talk about the values issues that this administration has been championing. Clip number three.
This administration has been standing strong for traditional values since day one. I have to tell you, I couldn't be more proud to serve as vice president to a president who stands without apology for the sanctity of human life. You look at the last year and a half, this is the most pro-life administration in American history.
The president hit on, the vice president, hit on all of the high notes, but he did not fail to talk about religious freedom, which was a very significant point, and again, brought the folks to their feet. Clip number four.
With your strong support, we've stood strong for life. But our administration has also taken action to protect and promote our first freedom, the freedom of religion and religious liberty for every American. Last year, President Trump chose the National Day of Prayer to announce new policies to protect the religious liberty of every American, regardless of their creed. We've taken action to protect the conscience rights of doctors and nurses. And after years of neglect, we've restored federal enforcement of our nation's conscience laws, and we ended the last administration's assault on the Little Sisters of the Poor. And in this White House, we believe that freedom of speech shouldn't end at the threshold of our churches, and we ended enforcement of the Johnson Amendment. And we will continue to fight until we repeal the Johnson Amendment once and for all.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us, and I encourage you to be back here next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.